We set this up, what, well, back in February. We kind of were plotting out where we'd like to be. Elyria, we'll be going to Lorraine a little bit later, and we try to figure out what time of the year. We know that they were celebrating the bicentennial here in Sheffield, so I thought we'd do that. Of course, then we start out here, and later, early in the week, we get the word of more happening with the Burl Homestead and this archaeological dig that's been going on for a number of years, I guess. And joining us to talk about that is the curator of archaeology at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. It's Brian Redman. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Now, I talked earlier with Matt Kosis, who had been involved with the Burl Homestead with the Metro Parks, and I guess that land there has had some archaeological work done for quite a number of years, right?
Right. Actually, our museum visited the property back in 1971 as part of a big regional survey where archaeologists went all over multiple counties in northeast Ohio. And they spent a little bit of time in Lorain County and what we call the Burl Homestead and did a little bit of test excavation, meaning digging just little excavation units over a part of the site. And they probably were, they seem to be very close to where we're working now, but they found artifacts, but we didn't learn a lot in depth about the site. And then in 1987, the University of Akron came out and did a summer excavation. And then we came first, my project, in 2008 to the site. And then we came back last year in 2014 and then this year.
So each time to come back, there must be something there that thought, there must be something more or something more interesting, or it's just a nice place to visit?
Well, it's interesting. The type of artifacts that were being found at the site are a particular type of spear point. We call a projectile point, and it's long and narrow. And at first, at least back in the early 70s, archaeologists thought those dated much older. They thought they dated back to about 10,000 years ago, based on similarities to artifacts in the plains and the upper Great Lakes and things like that. So at first, they thought this was a very ancient site, one of the first sites in the area. Now we know that's not the case, that the sites are a bit younger, but we're still talking 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. So there, we've come back to originally to test that idea to see what we could find and try to get some radiocarbon dates to try to actually get some absolute dating of the site. And when we did that, again, we found out it was about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago.
Talk about what's recently been unearthed or you've seen, or what it's like a foundation of some sort? Or?
Well, it looks like we have evidence of the Native Americans coming here and building structures, house structures, wooden pole framework structures. But the interesting part is that they apparently were taking the time to build floors made out of clay. And this is basically a process we think of them digging down into this yellow clay subsoil that underlies the whole area. These are ancient Lake Plain clays. And digging it up and doing some kind of processing. The clay itself has a lot of sand, and they were removing that. And then probably drying it, pulverizing it, getting it wet, and then spreading it out almost like a plaster floor. But this is, you know, 2 or 3 inch thick layer of this yellow clay, and we think as foundations or floors for structures.
How did it first get uncovered? Is it just like you get to a level? I mean, because if you just go to a point where you see something that looks like clay, how do you think there's any relevance?
Well, normally we don't. Normally in northern Ohio, when we excavate down through fairly dark organic soils, which have artifacts in them, and usually we'll hit this what we call the subsoil, which is the actual soil below any cultural activity, and it's often clay in this area, and it's yellow clay. And normally we'd go down and hit that and say, well, we're done, right? We've gone down to the bottom of the deposits. And at this site, it didn't seem to be the case. In some places, we were able to dig much deeper and not find clay, and those turned out to be storage pits or trash pits or fire pits that were in the ground. But in 2008, we excavated a section of one of these areas, and we found this yellow clay. And I was actually working in that particular excavation unit, and I remember thinking, oh, well, we've hit the subsoil. But we dug a little farther on one side, and we found dark soil below that. And that never happens. You don't find a buried cultural soil below what seems to be the subsoil. And I thought, well, they must have laid down some clay here. And then we found more of it. And by the end of that season, we noticed in some of our wall profiles, the vertical sections where you can see the stratigraphy, you could see this line of clay running all the way around the unit. So we actually missed part of it in 2008. We weren't looking for that. But after that, we realized that we had something like a construction, a clay floor. So we did come back in 2014 and expose a pretty good-sized section of one of these floors and found the edges of it. And along the edge of this floor, we found these small, round, organic stains running in kind of an arc or a line around the edge of the floor. And those are what we call post-molds. Those are the organic remnants of wooden posts that were stuck in the ground. And they form a line, like a wall line. So we realize, wait a minute, we have a structural wall of a structure of wooden posts sitting on top of this clay floor. And then we realize we actually had a deliberate construction, a clay floor.
Craig?
Brian, it seems the area is ripe for remnants. In many cases, is it simply digging deep enough?
Not in this case, although this, again, another really amazing aspect of this site besides the clay floors, and really what got us interested back in 2008 was the fact that the, what we call the cultural deposits, or what we call midden, M-I-D-D-E-N, it's basically just accumulations over time of debris, ash and charcoal from fires, animal bones, things like that, piled up rather deeply, in some cases 2.5 to 3 feet deep, on this bluff top overlooking the Black River. I don't know of any other site of any time period in northern Ohio that has that depth, thickness of these midden deposits. So right away I thought, this is a special site, this is more like a village, but it dates back 4,000 years ago. So that interested us, just the fact that we had to dig deeply, but just because the cultural deposits were so deep at this site. And these midden deposits cover almost 2 acres out there. This is really a huge settlement, and we're just working on a very small part of it.
Where does the 4,000 years come from? How does that get tagged to this?
Mostly from radiocarbon dating. Some of the deposits contain, in addition to artifacts, they contain burned nutshell, mostly hickory nuts. These folks were hunting deer, but they also were gathering hickory nuts in large quantities and processing them, and probably even burning the shells as well. So we have them carbonized, and we can date those. And we've taken pieces of nutshell from different levels in the excavation and sent them off to a lab who will produce radiocarbon dates for us. And that gives us a fairly straightforward, accurate date on that particular level. And over the course of the last couple of years, we've accumulated enough dates to indicate that this site dates from about 2500 BC to about 1800 BC.
We're talking with Brian Redman this morning, curator of archaeology at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, about the Burl Homestead and some of the archaeological digs that are going on. We've talked about this in 10 minutes. This takes years for you kind of to do.
Yes.
What is the pace of this process? And what kind of, you seem times usually it's like small brushes. Everything is so small because you don't want to miss anything, right?
Right.
So it's a lot of, even though you found something that's rather large, it still takes a lot of detail.
Right. Some of the sites we work at are not, they're not at all this deep in terms of, again, the cultural deposits, the deposits containing artifacts and things. They're rather shallow. So we can open up excavation units in a couple of days. We can carefully dig down to the subsoil, again, this ground below the site itself. But at this site, it's the opposite. It's very deep. It's very complex. And so we can't dig a lot spatially or horizontally. We have to dig down very slowly in rather restricted areas. So we haven't opened up as much of the site as we may somewhere else, but we actually, it takes longer to dig down through these deep deposits. But the information is just amazing that we're getting, and it's very important in terms of probably one of the premier archaeological sites in northern Ohio.
This is done by students, people? Who are these people that are doing all of this?
Most of our work is done over about a 4-week period every summer. It's a program, a museum members program called the Archaeology in Action program. This is open to anybody age 18 and over. And you don't have to have experience doing archaeology. It's a field school. People come out and we actually teach them how to do the excavations, how to record the information, how to identify the artifacts for at least 1 week up to 4 weeks every summer. And again, it's open to the public. We have people from all walks of life that come out and do this. And it's a great mix of people. But basically, we're training the public how to do this. They are doing the excavations. They're finding the artifacts. They're recording the information that we're finding.
And then I hear at some point you kind of bury it all, or does it happen, or what's the process? I mean, how do you put it back? How does this work?
Well, at the end of every excavation season, we fill in our excavation units, our holes in the ground, if you will, with the back dirt, what we've excavated out. And that's to preserve it over the winter particularly if we're going to come back, we still have to come back and dig it out next year to some degree. Because otherwise, if we left these sites open, particularly this site with those clay floors, it would probably be very heavily damaged by the ice and the snow and the water. So we do have to fill it back up.
So even archaeologists have to succumb to Mother Nature and the weather of Northeast Ohio of when you can actually...
Yeah, that's inevitable. We can't control that.
We've had lots of rain. What is it like a rainy day, rain, lots of rain? Do you think, what's that site going to look like when they get out there today? Or how
I think about that every day.
What happens? I mean, water erosion, that's the enemy of, in some sense.
It is. And so that's been our biggest foe this summer. You know, the other two summers we worked, we had some rain, but nothing like this. And everybody all over Northern Ohio is experiencing this. Double the rain we've had before. But that's okay. We've actually made a lot of good progress. We've probably been slowed up maybe a couple days worth of work over the 4 weeks based on the rain we've had. One other problem with working at this particular site is that there's this time of year with all this rain, there's a high water table. And isn't so much even the rain coming in from the top, it's the water rising from the bottom. And again, as I said, we have to dig, you know, rather deep, up to maybe 3 feet deep. And when you get down over about 2 feet, the water starts seeping in. So we can't work in that area. We have to let it sit till it dries out. And it's not dried out too often this summer. Today, the rain we're getting today is probably...
So you don't battle with any water area and work through that?
No, you really can't. If there's sitting water on the floor, let's say of an excavation unit, you would just mess it up if you tried to stand on it or dig in it. We just have to let it dry out.
Okay. Maybe you'll find an ancient sump pump there somewhere along the way.
They probably had some for the people that live there. And one other thing about these clay floors, when you think about the weather we have today and how wet it gets at that site, it makes some sense that they probably also built those floors to have a little bit higher, drier place to live. Probably something we would do today if we went out and built a settlement somewhere. And that may be part of the reason why they have a number of these clay floors at the site.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of great things happening there and as well. It's fun. You think about history, and they talk about buildings and that, but even in the ground, there's a lot of history still to be discovered.
Exactly. And I think it's part of the this year's the bicentennial of Sheffield. It also shows that the history here goes back thousands of years as well. So it's part of the heritage of people of Sheffield Township and Northeast Ohio, and I think we're just kind of adding to that.
Right. Who was here first? You always think that, it's an undiscovered land when the trees they had to clear, but prior to that, there was ancient civilizations. Still like the water, the land, it's some location.
It's a great place to live.
No matter what century or what tribe you come from. Our guest today, Brian Redman, the curator of archaeology at Cleveland Museum of Natural History. Thank you for coming in this morning and sharing some of the neat things that are happening here in Lorain County.